parenting students, and of course, allies. And please remember that your children are always welcome.
Please help us spread the word by informing any single parenting students that you know about our group. We're also open to receiving anecdotes or stories from single parent students regarding their time spent at UBC.
Feel free to drop by our meeting on November 6th or send us an email at spoc.ubc@gmail.com. We really look forward to hearing or seeing you.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Don't touch that dial. You are exactly where you want it to be. I think you've landed in Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR with hosts Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray. Or maybe, just maybe, you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca. If you ever miss a show, you can download the podcast at juiceboxradio.com. Jumping G-strings, tantalizing, titillating tassels, adoring crowds, the opening weekend of the third annual Vancouver International Burlesque Festival has been one of astronomical proportions. Festival attendance is plush, with each venue boasting crowds of revelers, over 150 at each little venue, soaking in the glittery glory of burlesque. Tonight's Juice Box is all about burlesque, especially the Burlesque Fest that's going on right now in Vancouver, yes, your own city, but also about the history of burlesque and what it means to our personal growth, self-esteem, and the politics of sex work. We're going to be taking calls, so feel free to give us a call and call in and contribute to that conversation we're going to be having at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR.
Yes, that's true. And Caroline and I just came back from watching a lecture called The Shake, the Rattle, and the Pole, Showgirls, Sex, and Sin. in post-war Vancouver, 1940 to 1980, and the lecture was given by UBC's very own Becky Ross, and I did an entire sociology of sexuality class with her, and I did see a little bit of this lecture before a couple years ago, but she's revived it, revamped it, and she's going to be publishing a book in spring 2009. So Dr. Ross had this really fascinating lecture, and our guests were also present at the lecture, so we're going to be discussing a little bit of that tonight. But let me just let you know a little bit about Vancouver. It used to be the striptease home to the hottest nightclubs north of San Francisco, and this is back in the 1940s, and it started to get even crazier and greater over the 50s. That comment was from Jack Wasserman.
He was actually a family friend. She's my dad's best friend, actually.
Growing up. Very cute, Caroline, yes. Information that the listeners are like, oh, how adorable.
He was one of the best columnists for the Vancouver Sun.
Okay,
actually.
That's very much more interesting. Or known as, Vancouver was also known as Las Vegas North back in the 50s. So its economy of Vancouver was empowered a lot by exotic entertainment, and it employed thousands and thousands of workers in all kinds of capacities and varieties of working world, like from club owners to dancers, costumers, shoemakers, everything, taxi drivers, you name it, until kind of the crackdown happened in the late 60s. Of the burlesque, kind of performance halls and the different stripper halls and whatever kind of, adult entertainment, exotic entertainment, and even just music entertainment in Vancouver, there was crackdown in the late 60s, with actually a revival that came back into Vancouver a decade later, with naked dancing becoming finally decriminalized, so women were allowed to take off their bottoms. And there wasn't enough dancers to actually fill the demand brought upon by club owners and patrons wanting to see more skin, more naked stripping. The poles started coming in, showers, the lap dance, etc. The G-strings started coming off, with not enough women available to fill the demand. This was in the 70s, early 70s. So,
and let's flash forward to today's Vancouver, where audiences can enjoy a burlesque show, and sometimes more, every week. And there's classes at different dance centers for striptease, pole dancing, burlesque, becoming burlesque. And I think it's coming more mainstream. Right now in Vancouver, it's the third annual International Burlesque Festival, and it's an event that's so diverse and so popular. It's doing a fringe festival style of setup with shows all around the city produced and hosted by different troupes focused on the popular style of dance. So our guest tonight, she's been called Sweetness, she's Pretty Titty, and now is known as burlesque performer Jenny Magenta. She's producing The Banquet of Broads with Luscious Dance as part of Vancouver's International Dance Festival. Welcome to the Juicebox Radio, Jenny.
Hello, ladies.
Awesome. Thanks for coming. I know it's a really busy time, and you've got your big show tomorrow night, so.
But yeah, it's a little insane.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. I appreciate that.
So what brought you to the world of burlesque? You started off with clown burlesque, and now you got classic.
Well, I mean, I was a performer. I was born into being a performer, so I started, I think, my first performance ever in dancing in general was when I was 5. So I went from that world and trained in classical ballet, went to the National Ballet School in Toronto, and was fortunately funded by the Canada Council as the only young Western Canadian girl. I, at the time, was the youngest girl to get a Canada Council grant in the
Wow, congratulations.
When I was a wee child, so I had a social insurance number at a very young age.
They've been following you and tracking you forever.
Damn those bastards.
Before Facebook.
Where are our taxes since you were 7?
I was a natural performer. So I guess that's where, it began. My mother always tells this wonderful story of, when she was a hippie and trying to be all no makeup, and we would walk by a store that had these glamorous little girl dresses in the window, and I'd stop her and, oh, mummy, look at the pretty dresses. Oh, mummy, and drag her into the makeup area at the bay, and so I was a natural performer, needless to say.
The glitter and the glam.
Yeah, always wanted to dress up. I mean, doesn't every little girl kind of want to dress up like a princess at some point?
Many of them do. But not all.
Yeah, a lot of them.
a lot of boys.
So I went from dance and very strong dance background, and then made a decision in my late teens to become more focused on theater, and studied theater, did my degree at SFU and in the theater program there, and had always been involved in the theater scene in Vancouver. So my first burlesque performance was actually last year in the fall, and it was wonderful. It went really well. I did it at a friend's fundraiser, and overall, the response was, needless to say, overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I had hit the right place.
This was in the fall you did your first burlesque performance.
Yes.
Is that the one I saw at Malaika Millions fundraiser?
Yes.
I was one of those overwhelmed people that was very impressed with your performance. And that's one of the reasons I had you on my salon, Jenny Magenta.
Yes, that would be me.
I forgot about that. You reminded me.
That was a very off-the-wall, severe menstrual cramp burletta. And burletta being the name we use for the numbers that we do when we're performing burlesque. So that was quite the number, needless to say. But it was a great night, and I immediately knew the minute that I started to do it that it was something that would really bring me into another level as a performer. So, yeah, that's kind of where it started.
I think that's cool.
So I'm thinking, you know, we just came from this lecture. It's pretty intense and informative. And we heard in that lecture that burlesque dancers sometimes feel that they're judged the same as a stripper, who are actually considered sex workers in today's society. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, it's common. You know, when you tell somebody that you're a burlesque dancer, if they're not, you know, within that community or they haven't heard about it, the first thing that pops into their mind is that you're a stripper. Now, you know, classically, yes, burlesque dancers are strippers. We do. We take off our clothes. We just don't take off all of our clothes. And so my view on that is, you know, it's developing. I think I'm starting to become more aware and open that what I'm doing isn't that different from what the women do, for example, at the Cecil or wherever. I think it's important for us also to embrace the fact that, and this was something that she brought up in the lecture, that we're not that different, that if we create more of a community within that whole world, that will ultimately create a more positive image for that community and for the public.
Mm-hmm.
So,
We don't need to denigrate people who take their clothes off. I think that's, I see it all as sex work. And I think anyone who does sort of like titillating, sex positive dance performance of any kind is part of sex work. And my opinion is that really we need to start to not just bring communities together, but to allow the message to the mainstream to start to become a little bit more clear and a little bit less like something to be ashamed of, and that it's actually quite a positive experience and not necessarily something that you need to be. But we're still working with the mainstream here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you also have to face the ultimate reality of the fact that the audience that goes to the Cecil to watch a woman do an official real stripper doing her thing is not necessarily the same kind of audience that is coming to a burlesque show. Mm-hmm. And burlesque tends to attract more of it really does attract a very diverse audience. And that's something that does delineate the two, but it certainly doesn't create a hierarchy in any way.
Okay. Awesome. So the new wave burlesque performers, they're said to feel that they want to differentiate themselves from that sort of the fringe of society, the sex worker, a stripper thing. But would you think that burlesque then is kind of considered the clean stripping? That's kind of what we were talking about today in the lecture.
I think that it's considered a more acceptable you could bring your mother to it. You can bring your brother. You
to
could
burlesque.
Sit next to yeah. You could sit next to your brother in a burlesque show, and you wouldn't sit there thinking, "Oh my God, I feel so uncomfortable." You know, there's an openness and sort of there's definitely a level of comedy with burlesque, and so I think that does
a little more playful.
Yeah, there's that playful level to it. It's not quite so intense. I mean, it's sort of. You could look at it like, you know, watching a sex scene in a movie versus watching actual porn, and you know there is a difference. Mm-hmm. While they're both simulating having sex, you're not seeing the
genitals
and the full on action. You're seeing the idea
fluid
of
exchange.
It.
Fluid exchange.
Yes.
You don't see the moist fluid exchange. Okay.
Yes.
The money shot.
Yeah.
Let's not
beat around the bush.
No pun intended.
All right, so go ask the question.
You go ahead, because I can't remember what that stands
for.
Because it was your writing.
Oh, boy. Okay, all kinds of women from all socioeconomic statuses. are flocking to burlesque. So I, at the lecture, I spoke to a professor who actually performs burlesque, but she has to hide this quite carefully from anyone knowing in her university, or she'll be fired. So obviously we're a long way from accepting this in the mainstream. But I find it very interesting that all kinds of women are flocking to burlesque to watch it, or to even to perform. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is fueling that calling?
I think ultimately it is the there's a liberation that you feel when you watch it. There's a liberation that you feel as a performer. Mm-hmm. You know, the first performances that I did, I always wore, for example, I always wore a corset around my waist because personally I always had a bit of a thing about my stomach. Now, after performing the first or second, maybe the second show I ever did, and started seeing all these different women, all these different bodies, different everything, you know, big, little, big, huge breasts, no breasts. And it just popped me right into this reality of that my body is okay, and that my body is beautiful, and when I perform, people love it, and that ultimately is what creates this this feeling that you get when you perform, as do the audience. The audience also responds that way too.
So feeling very empowered.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's the ultimate liberation. You know, I mean, all those days you've spent wasting energy criticizing your body, and then you get up on stage and you are dancing and people are yelling and clapping and laughing, and you walk off there thinking, you know, I am sexy hot ma.
Yeah.
You know, there is nothing about what's going on with my body that is ugly or shameful or anything of that regard, you know. So for me, it was very, very, I mean, I almost was brought to tears after the first performance I had ever done because of that. I just blew me away that I would feel that incredibly free.
Awesome.
I can't remember if it was you or if it was someone else at the lecture that had mentioned that it was really empowering for men as well to watch, where they started embracing different types of women as attractive. Was it you?
Sure, yeah. And I've had that conversation with a lot of men. When I say that, I probably could narrow it down to saying heterosexual men. That, you know, there are a lot of men out there who get dragged to strip clubs who don't necessarily... they go because they have to go, right? Mm-hmm. They go because, you know, it's someone's bachelor party or whatever. Your buddies will drag them there, and and it's not that they're not enjoying themselves, or they can't look at the woman and think she's hot or whatever. But it seems very unattainable. Mm-hmm. The women in that community often, you know, their bodies are very similar, and it's kind of like
surgery.
Yeah, and so, you know, not that there's really anything wrong with that, but it creates a very different vibe. And I've had conversations with men who have been thankful. You know, they've just come up and said, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen a woman strip and thought, wow, she's hot. And actually being able to entertain the fantasy of that's something that's attainable in my life, because they've seen in one night a woman who weighs 105 pounds and a woman who weighs 200 pounds. And so you're getting this full range of beauty.
I think it's really incredible that way. I mean, not just accepting all bodies, but sort of changing the stereotypes of what's sexy.
Oh, my God.
Because like you're talking about, there's a lot of pressure around, you know, okay, well, my girlfriend's a little bigger than most of these women, these stick figures that are out there that everyone's kind of lusting over, and everything that sells in the you know, stores and on the billboards and everything else. Yeah. And, you know, 5%, 10% of the population looks like that. So the rest of the women are kind of like, well, where are we? And then I have to appreciate Dove for kind of bringing, you know, everybody into the realm of what is sexy. But I think burlesque is doing a really powerful job of doing that too, and that's one of the big politics that I find behind burlesque, that I'm really for it, and I support it as much as I can, you know, paying to go to things and we announce them on the show all the time, because I think it's just so much fun to go to. It's very empowering.
Yeah.
It's a very positive experience. A lot of times I'll go to a strip club and I feel kind of denigrated a little bit. I feel kind of a little bit shy, a little bit like embarrassed, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a different flavor.
It's a completely different flavor. With burlesque, I get a sense that people want to be there, where sometimes at a strip club, I get that they're doing
bored
it because
or money. They need the money really badly.
It's not because they actually enjoy it.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been to, I remember being at a strip club one time and seeing, you know, probably a good half of the club was actually watching a hockey game. And the woman was up there, you know, desperately trying to get attention. Now, you'd think, you know, if there's a woman taking off her clothes and showing her vagina and doing all these wonderful, sexy moves that everybody, vulva, yes, vulva, let's get clear
right,
now.
Let's get it on sex ed show, you know.
that you know, they would be all staring at her, but they weren't. And I thought, isn't that interesting? You know, with burlesque, I mean, you could hear a, well, you can't really hear a pin drop because, you know,
so
there people are yelling and
reveling.
They're so
on.
Excited. But with the burlesque show, there's full attention. I mean, people are there wondering what you're going to do next. There's a level of unpredictability with burlesque.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty much most everyone can, and, you know, the women that I know who are dancers or strippers, they can even tell you there's a certain thing they do. There's a certain way they go about it. And they cannot, you know, with burlesque, it's not like that. And, you know, for people that don't even, I mean, there may be people out there that don't even know what burlesque is. I mean, I guess if we could simplify it, we could say that it's a basic strip tease.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it like an old-fashioned movie from the 40s, something like that. And you strip down, but you end up with usually some kind of panty on, booty shorts, little G-strings or something, and then pasties, which are the little sparkly nipple covers that come in all shapes and sizes, and we can make anything out of a pasty.
I have six pairs myself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm looking over at your mouse over there for your computer, and I'm thinking I could do a geek number with two mice, like, on my boobs, and, you know, I mean, you can do anything with burlesque.
That's
And people just love it. They feel
it's so much fun.
Men, women,
yeah, it's great.
Everyone, people just come running up to you after the show, and they're just, oh my God, I'm so excited, thank you so much. You know, I mentioned the other day, oh, I'm so excited, you know, you inspired me to go out and buy some pretty lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a woman who said she hadn't bought something nice for herself in years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's awesome, Jenny.
It's empowering women to take care of themselves. I found it interesting during the talk, you were mentioning about your Canada Council in terms of not funding strippers during, and do you think that they might fund burlesque at some point?
I think that's an interesting topic, and I, with my other theater company, Here Be Monsters Collective, we have a big Carnival of the Arts coming in the fall, and there's talk of, well, we have had burlesque in our cabarets before, and we're in the process, right, and we have gotten some city money and some provincial money before, so while we're not necessarily saying, oh, it's a burlesque festival, I do think that there's an openness to that, and it's a possibility, definitely. We're working for it. I think there's no reason why they shouldn't fund us to do something like that.
Especially something classic, like bringing back the history that drove so much of the economy that we were talking about earlier, and you know, also just the class structure that I think it's important that they fight against and say, hey, you know, this was a huge part of our economy back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and it's now becoming this neo-burlesque, and we think it's really cool. Look at this history. You know, that's a really good angle to take, right? And I'm sure Becky Ross could write a bunch of stuff for you to get that money from the Canada Council.
Yeah.
She would probably be happy to
Little
help
do the Olympics
that.
Know that they're going to be funding our next show. Yeah.
So speaking of your next show, you've got a Banquet of Broads happening tomorrow night.
Absolutely. We've got the Banquet of Broads. We are calling it the Saucy Smorgasbord of Sexy Sirens Who Will Steal Your Heart.
Fabulous. I can't wait to go. I'm going to be there from like the very beginning. I'm going to be on this little keeners in the front row.
Yeah, we'll see you there. Well, you better be there, girl. If
I'm
you're
gonna
not there,
be there.
I'm going to be sad.
I'll be there.
We'll definitely be there.
I might even dress up. I might even have time, actually, to put a costume on, which
well,
I haven't
we're
had lately.
Yeah, we're encouraging people to wear vintage,
be.
Something funky, dress
something
up,
funky.
Have fun.
Yeah.
The whole night, when I started to program the show, I wanted to talk to the women at Luscious Dance who do athletic pole dancing, which is pole dancing with clothes on, and try to create a bit of a unity between that community and the burlesque community because they go through a lot of the same things that we go through in terms of people immediately
marginalizing.
People immediately thinking that you're some kind of
sex worker,
prostitute, or something along those lines. And I wanted to kind of bring those things together.
Which I think is great, but have you been getting anybody...
Is that what you're doing?
And what type of comments have you been getting about that?
Oh, people are really excited about it, actually. Yeah.
That's great.
I was talking to Crystal Precious, actually, who's well-known as part of Sweet Soul Burlesque, and she was saying, you know, she's like, those athletic pole dancing girls, they're on the same fight that we've been fighting too, you know, just because, you know, we want to try to show people that there's another level to sexy performing without necessarily showing all the bits, you know. So
fabulous. So tell us a little bit more about who
yeah, well, what we've there. Got is we have some burlesque. We've got a woman named Ravenna Black. She's this little teeny tiny little woman. She's 5 feet tall. She's from Seattle, and she's doing a number which is actually a tribute to the history of stripping. And I'm very excited to have her in our show. She doesn't do this piece very often, specifically because it does break a few of the rules in terms of what burlesque shows. We also have Vancouver's very well-known Malaika Millions. So she's doing a couple of numbers. Myself, Jenny Magenta. We have Vava Wunderbust, which, if but just by the name, I'm sure will indicate to you that she has probably two of the most beautiful boobies I've ever seen in my life.
You're the pretty titty.
Well, originally I was called Pretty Titty. It's true. But Vava Wunderbust, I mean, we're talking, I mean, I think I asked her what her size was, and she's like something, something, triple E or something. And she just rolls it off her tongue, like, no, 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 whatever. And those things are just, they're beautiful.
I can't wait to sit, feast my eyes.
Oh, you will probably want to run up to her and go, yeah. That's usually what happens. And we also have Burgundy Bricks, who's recently moved here from Vancouver. She's from New York City. She's been performing burlesque and dancing for well over 15 years. She was with the Rockettes.
I was just going to ask, I heard a rumor about that.
Yeah, she was with the Rockettes. She was, cool. You know, you can tell by her physique, she's definitely got that tall, lean kind of look.
And you have all kinds of different, like you have pole dancing.
Yeah, we've got the pole dancing. We've got the women from Luscious Dance, who are wonderful. We have
a secret pole dancing company called Brunette Blonde.
Secret
is that
pole
right?
dancing company called Brunette Blonde. Who
I'm
are
so
foxy
excited
hot.
To see this secret society.
All I can say is that they're attempting to do a combination of burlesque and pole dance, which I think is awesome and wonderful.
Very cool.
Does that make them strippers?
Yes, it does. No, I'm just kidding. We're all strippers in the same boat, really, honey. I mean, if you think about it, right? We're stripping our clothes off.
Some doesn't show the genitals. Others keep the nipples covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
So and just to sort of continue on with that, we also have aerial silks, which is acrobatic aerial silks where they hang from the ceiling.
That's
I've got
be cool.
a woman named Ashley, who's a wonderful belly dancer. She's going to be performing. We also have art by Vancouver's own Eye Brain Eater for sale. And the whole night is being hosted by the professor, who is also a New York City import, and he's fabulous.
Fabulous. Sounds like an amazing show.
Yeah, it's going to be
and
diverse.
And it's at the Wise Hall.
It's at the Wise Hall, which is at 1882 Adenac. And you can get tickets easily
at the
if
door.
You search my name. You can get tickets at the door. But the easiest thing to do, if you're listening right now, is just search for Jenny Magenta. Go to my website, click on the link, and you can get tickets that way.
Great.
It takes you to clubzone.com.
Okay. Don't be afraid of Clubzone.
No.
So, you know what? I'm glad to hear that that there's not too much flack from the burlesque community. It sounds like this particular show that you're putting together, people are kind of curious about it. And instead of going like, well, they don't belong together and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, originally when people started doing burlesque in this city, there was a real sort of push to separate ourselves away from all the other people that are doing anything remotely close to that. And now that's not the case. It's changing and the minds of all the performers are becoming a lot more open and liberated and understanding that it fits into the same category.
Yeah,
so I'm really happy about it.
That's
and
great.
Yeah, you can, the doors open at 8. You can buy tickets at the door for $20.
Oh.
But
It's okay. It's all right. We're not talking about price on the air, but that's okay.
Price,
that's why I was
okay.
covering the prices. I was like trying to cover them up.
But, you know,
but that's okay.
You
hey,
can just,
it's all good.
Show up.
It's all good. It's all good. So before we close off, you know, just with a sort of minute left here before the break, and then we're going into the second part of the show with Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society's Melody Mangler and Norm. We don't know if we give his last name. I don't know. Anyway, Screaming Chicken, they're coming on for the second half of the show. We're really excited about their interview up next. But before we let our Jenny Magenta go, what do you think is the future of the skin trade? I thought that was a very interesting question, the skin trade. Becky Ross asked that.
The future of it? I think that the future of it has to include the whole
spectrum?
The whole spectrum, yeah. I think that the more that we come as burlesque performers become at one with ourselves and what we're doing, the more that I think people can become perhaps more sex positive around the ideas and that are associated with the actual striptease, yeah. And then into the actual strip club reality. I mean,
and a sex performance. I mean, it is a sex performance,
sure,
right?
Sure, it is. Yeah,
and you know, maybe there isn't genitals exchanging or kissing or whatever oral sex happening on the stage, but it is somebody being suggestive of sexuality. And I think that the more we celebrate that, the more positive everybody's going to have more respect for each other. And I think it's got nothing but good to come of that.
Absolutely, and I think ultimately people will, and hopefully in my own personal way, I believe other women will become just a little more accepting of mm-hmm. the reality of the body that you live in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And then that's to be celebrated.
Burlesque is a beautiful job doing that. I just love it so much. I prefer to see burlesque even because I prefer those bodies. To me, they're more sexy.
Yeah,
so,
I've had men mm-hmm. secretly whisper that to me after shows. You know, I go to strip clubs all the time, but, you know, this is the first time I've really... really watched the show, and I thought, wow, that was a real turn on. You guys were great, you know. Mm-hmm. And then he shuffles off, you know.
Hopefully not too much Dirty Old Man going on.
I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
I am too. I'm
Thanks
really excited.
Really, really, really great.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for
Thanks
taking
for
time
out.
And checking us out.
Thank you very much.
Thank
it's
you.
Been lovely, ladies.
Okay, so you are listening to Juicebox on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Thanks so much, Jenny Magenta. I can't wait to see you tomorrow night. Keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time especially. So if you have something to contribute, please call in to 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we will be back very soon.
I swiped my dance card once after an audition. And on a scale of 10, they gave me, for dance, 10. For looks, 3. Well, dance, 10, looks, 3. And I'm still on unemployment. Dancing for my own enjoyment. That ain't it, kid. That ain't it, kid. Dance, 10, looks, 3. It's like to die. Left the theater and called the doctor for my appointment to buy tits and ass. Bought myself a fancy pair. Tightened up the derriere. Did the nose with it. All that goes with it. Tits and ass. Had the bingo bongos done. Suddenly I'm getting national tours. Tits and ass won't get you jobs unless they're yours. Didn't cost a fortune neither. Didn't hurt my sex life either. Flat and sassy. I would get the strays and losers. Beggars really can't be choosers. That ain't it, kid. That ain't it, kid. Fixed the chassis. How do you do? Life turned into an endless medley of G. It had to be you. Why? Tits and ass. Where the cupboard once was bare. Now you're knocking, someone's there. You have got them, hey, top to bottom, hey. It's a gas. Just a dash of silicone. Shake your new maracas and your fine. Tits and ass can change your life. They sure changed mine. You're all looking at my tits now, aren't you? Have it all done, honey. Take my word. Grab a cab, come on, see the wizard on Park and 73rd. For tits and ass, orchestra and balcony. What they want is what you see. Keep the best of you. Taunt or chorus girl or why? Tits and ass, yes, tits and ass have changed my life.
Want to know what's going on around town? LiveMusicVancouver.com is the Lower Mainland's comprehensive source for live music listings. We've got more than 350 shows listed at any time, and our listings are updated continuously by hundreds of the very people who put on the shows you love. Artist information and MP3s are accessible right from the listings, as are maps and calendars for virtually every venue in the city. All this and tons more totally free at LiveMusicVancouver.com.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And you're back. You're listening to Juicebox on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. So keep that dial locked. We welcome your calls during this time, especially. So call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And we are back with Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. But first, our juice berries.
Yes, well, we have Kundalini Dance. I have to announce it the first one because my good friend Luna is leading it. Not leading it, but she's co-leading the three-part Sacred Alchemical Sexuality Workshop for Women, May 14th, 21st, and June 9th in Vancouver. Very powerful opportunity to reclaim your power, open your body as love, and integrate positive life change. So find out more at kundalini-dance.com. Kundalini-dance.com. You want to do this kink thing?
This is compliments of Peter. Metro Vancouver Kink. MVK presents the Vancouver Dungeon BDSM Play Party and Workshop on Saturday, May the 3rd, and that's from 7:30 to 9. The workshop, labial infusion, and what is suturing?
Sewing. Labially sewing.
Is it sewing?
I'm sorry.
It says suturing.
That's what it is.
Is that what's... Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Wow. Okay, I had to ask.
Anyway, till 1 a.m., let's say, play party with fully equipped dungeon, location Kipri Hall, Fraser and 24th. Email contact at metrovancouverkink.com.
Okay.
And if you're not in on the action, why the heck aren't you? Worry not. There's still a little something for everyone. Exquisitely energizing live music, raucous comics, a movie screening, and, of course, peelers of all astonishing genres.
Love the word peelers.
Where's our program? Okay, here we go. Let's announce our little guys here.
The Vancouver International Burlesque Fest is produced by the Vancouver International Burlesque Community through, and I'm going to let you read this because you read better than I do, and I'm blushing.
VIBF Alliance, a not-for-profit organization founded by festival creators Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society,
who
we have in the house right now, and Sweet Soul Burlesque. The goal of the VIBFA is to create a festival that reflects the many aspects of the world of burlesque and draws attention to the incredible Vancouver scene. All members of the burlesque community are invited to join the alliance and to be a part of developing burlesque in Vancouver. And it's getting bigger and badder. So while there's still room on the board or whatever, or part of the membership, I don't know, maybe there's no room on the board, kids, but be a part of it while you can. Get in there.
Definitely. No, it's
okay.
Good.
Right on. So.
Yeah, so we were just talking to Jenny Magenta about burlesque becoming more mainstream. So what would you say?
I don't think it's mainstream. Not yet. I think there's bigger and better ways to go. I think we're just breaking the surface. We were wondering about how the 10 days of events would go over. Like, were all our shows going to be packed Monday, Tuesday? And, you know, so far, so good.
Have they been full? Like, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Well, I guess Wednesday today, but, yeah.
Packed.
Really?
Yeah, and I wish I could be down at the Corrupt Cabaret right now. Just to see.
Corrupt Cabaret sounded like really fun. I was disappointed. You know, there's so many cool things that happen on Wednesday nights, and often Caroline and I miss everything. And we're kind of pissed about it.
Well, thank you guys for coming out. We really appreciate this. It's good.
Thank you. Especially because it's like super busy time. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we forgot to totally welcome you.
Oh, welcome.
Miss Melanie Mangler and Norm. And Norm, we weren't sure if we were allowed to say your last name or not.
So. Oh, that's fine. I think it's out there.
Okay. We weren't quite 100% sure, so we thought we'd be discreet in case we needed to be. So tell us, one of the girls at the lecture earlier, because you guys were there because it was at the Chicken Coop, which was awesome. Thank you for having that, by the way.
Oh, our pleasure.
And one of the performers was mentioning that her parents came to one of the show, and her mother was reacted a little bit about her doing burlesque, while her dad was really encouraging. And are you finding women are more uncomfortable with it?
Oh, actually, my mom loves it. We go on tour. Last year, we went on tour, BC, Alberta. I'm from Alberta. And at the Calgary show, I had my mom, I had my aunt, and I had my grandmother there. And my dad and my brother.
Oh,
and it was
actually
my dad that was more uncomfortable.
Oh, my
and my
gosh.
Brother was just like, oh,
yeah,
sis, what are you doing?
Yeah, at my sex salon, I've had all the men in my family have come to them, and only this past one, my little sister came.
Uh-huh.
But the boys, you know, the cousins, the brother, the dad, they all came, and they were loving it. Mind you, did I take my clothes off? Maybe at one point I did a little bit. But.
No comment. You want people to come, so. To the next one.
So
I didn't mean it that way. What I meant meant is we wanted to keep them mysterious. So then that way they knew. Julia, you look beautiful with your clothes off. Okay, you've got beautiful titties. Okay,
it's okay.
You have absolutely gorgeous. I didn't mean the way that came out.
I'm just getting old. I understand.
I should just shut up now.
Okay, let's not make it the Julia show once again. All right, so you find that women in the audience are more comfortable now. I know, Norm, you mentioned, Norm, that you did this economic study that you've done with audiences that have come to Screaming Chicken performances. What did you find?
Actually, it was a demographic study.
Oh, okay.
But we found that with Screaming Chicken, generally our audiences are about 65% women to about 35% men. So definitely a female-dominated thing.
What type of woman?
Well, in demographic numbers, average age is about 29, with about 50% of them being between 24 and 34.
Sounds hot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the ripe age.
Very ripe.
Most of them are, the largest number are from East Vancouver. And then behind that, there's a mix from the suburbs. We don't actually see a lot of people from this side of the city, though.
Why do you think that is?
Personally, just logistics, I think that we're a lot more active on the east side.
I think maybe you're just like word of mouth with so many of these things, right? So like your friends and family and whatever, friends of friends come and...
I think the east side also is a very strong sort of arts community. You know, a lot of this stuff happens in neighborhoods like Commercial Drive and Main Street that tend to be people that really have their fingers on the pulse of of what the latest, what the fun
sure
stuff
do.
Is. And
we're really cool on the east side there, Caroline. I know you're on the west side still there, a little young Missy. But on the east side, we know what's going down and we go to it.
Well, thanks to Facebook, I know a lot about what's going on. And on that note, are you finding that there's more turnout from the west side as well? And just in general, since you've been using Facebook in the last couple of years?
In general, definitely. I think that it's made it a lot easier for us, obviously, leaps and bounds. You start to forget what you had to do before before you had Facebook and all the more work.
You get it out before then?
Oh, well, we've only been doing this. The internet's been around the entire time we've been doing this, but lots of street postering, lots of handbilling. We definitely don't have to do quite as much.
Isn't it great?
It's
I think it's awesome.
Great.
It's saving paper and a lot of, well, it's also probably losing jobs, all those little poster people. They don't get to poster anymore, but.
No, when we started, there was many nights of going out with stacks of handbills and hitting
lineups.
There's
something definitely to be said about the old style carny parade through the town. Lead the way to the show. Marching band and all. And we have a giant chicken costume, so.
Oh, and you can still do that, can't you? And say, come on, you got some free time. Nobody does. We're all booking 2 weeks in advance in this downtown.
Well, you are, and so am I. But I don't know if everybody is, so just
okay.
Us. We're just weird.
We're just very popular and busy.
We're very popular.
All right, how do you feel?
I was going to ask if you guys wore the Screaming Chicken, or if you wore the costume when you were doing handbills. Did you go along Commercial Drive like everybody else did a couple weeks ago?
Oh, we actually had to miss the Saturday night.
We didn't.
We attempted a Friday night run around, and then it started raining, and then it was snowing, and then it was thunder and lightning. Yeah.
That's right. I was driving in that crazy weather from Seattle. It was insane. I'd never experienced something like that in all my years. Okay, so how do you feel about sort of the stripper versus burlesque, the difference there? Can you comment on that?
Well, I think first off, there's a lot of confusion in that burlesque is stripping. Burlesque is a style of show. That involves comedy, that often incorporates striptease in it. Striptease is striptease. It's something that happens in a burlesque show. Obviously, the format is different. I think what came up today is, you can't compare ballet to jazz dancing. Obviously, they're very different things. What you see is a burlesque striptease. But burlesque really means the show. There was burlesque existed for many, many years before anybody ever did a striptease. You know, some people identify it with the pasties as the defining thing. But originally in the burlesque shows, the pasties didn't come about until later years. It originally,
they wore little bra tops.
No, they'd go completely nude.
Actually, it started by drag kings. It was in the 1860s, around the 1860s, Lydia Thompson and her British blondes, they would dress up as men, and they wrote satirical parodies of classical literature. So you'd have stuff like Bend Her instead of Ben Hur, or Huckleberry Fanny. And then the whole lewdness is that they would show off their stocking legs.
They'd wear tights.
And they'd be very sexual as men. you know, so they just
the humping in business.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yeah.
But
and
it
then
was, they take off their tops and their nipples or their tits would just be out and out.
No, there was no striptease for they did that style of burlesque. That's what was in existence for probably about 40 years, 50 years. It was truly burlesque, literally, and I think, you know.
Did Becky Ross not mention this in her talk today?
Well, Becky Ross's talk was 1945 to 1985. In Vancouver, 1945 to 1985, which, if you look, and it all depends, it's a very funny thing in burlesque because you'll hear certain elements that do really focus on the striptease aspect, such as Miss Exotic World that looks at that, refer to that period in the 40s and 50s is the golden age of burlesque, which is really interesting because if you look at a theater perspective, if you read books about theater history and American history, they refer to that period as the decline of burlesque. So there's very much conflicting things. You know, there was a heyday, there was a period of time when there were burlesque, you know, over a dozen burlesque theaters on Broadway. And these weren't little tiny places. These were 1,000-seat-plus places doing up to 13 shows a day.
So Vegas is still doing this today and all the time.
It's very much influenced by, I mean, and this all came from the variety show, and burlesque was the blue variety show, whereas vaudeville was the family friendly variety show. But that's really what incorporated this early stuff, which you'd see was the parody. You'd see things like one act plays being done, or scenes that would be done from plays that would be parodies, up alongside comedians, alongside
jugglers, specialty acts, acrobats.
Mm. Yeah, all this sort of stuff. So
well. We were talking with Jenny Magenta about the fact that we were discussing how burlesque is kind of trying to maybe differentiate themselves from the strippers and that because they don't show their genitals or their nipples like strippers of today. So we'd asked Jenny, does this make them the clean in the realm of the stripper world and the sex worker world? Because strippers are considered sex workers and in our today's society, and then the burlesque performers are trying to differentiate themselves from it. So would it be like the clean stripping?
Not necessarily.
I think
you know, because I mean, you could say clean, but I mean, in many ways, covering things up can be dirtier. You can make things dirtier. We have a song called "Bestiality Tango," which is all about fucking it. Oh wait, can I say that?
Bestiality is not really a good thing.
But I mean, like, that's dirty.
Very dirty, and it's wrong. It's wrong, and it's bad. I just want someone
very,
to know.
Kids,
very,
don't try it at home.
Don't anyone try it at home.
But it's a very, very, very funny piece.
Orgy of the Dead. We had a girl actually have an orgasm on stage, and then we had it rigged into the staging. She squirted the audience.
With that her G-spot orgasm?
It was fake.
I wouldn't mind that.
It would be very cool.
It's sacred fluid. Anyway, all right.
Again, I think
it's not as serious sexy. Not as serious sexy. You know, we're stripping, you're there to get your rocks off. You're there to see a hot,
pink,
naked lady, you know?
Pink, right?
You're down
pink
to see a Mother Nature's glory. You're there
the
to
vulva.
See that. The vulva.
Okay. So then where does the line come? Because you're talking about smut here with this bestiality, with the ejaculation on the face of the audience members. So where does the line come then between what is considered art and what is considered smut?
No line!
we don't believe in line.
Life is art.
Life is art, smut is art. Okay.
Why can't smut be art?
I like it. You know what? You're speaking to the converted here.
Eye of the beholder.
Smut is in
the eye
of the beholder.
If you see smut,
art is in the
art of the beholder, then it's smut. If you see art, it's art.
Well, there's the famous case, back when they started breaking up burlesque in New York, which happened a little earlier than they mentioned here. Again, in the 30s. We started seeing these big crackdowns, and they brought one of these famous burlesque singers in front of the court because for her songs being dirty songs. She was singing dirty songs, and she actually sung this for the court. They made her sing the song that she'd been arrested for singing, and she sung it straight, and it was just a fine, so there was nothing dirty about it at all. And then she sung, I think it was one of these Christian hymns, and did it with the wink and the wiggle, and made it sound like the dirtiest thing anybody'd ever heard, and they had to throw out the case against her for public lewdness. And
thy kingdom come, I will be done. You know, you could make anything dirty.
Burlesque is the wiggle and the wink.
Have you shocked Julia?
I'm liking that a lot. Maybe I'm going to pull that out. I might go on a date with a religious man just for research. It's all in the name of research.
The things we do for the show.
Yes, exactly. And maybe I will do that at the end of the date. Instead of like kissing him, I'll like hold his hand and go, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let's pray together, honey.
I need a little Jesus inside of me."
Have you seen my Jesus on the cross dildo?
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that Jesus inside of me. I'm like, I can put Jesus inside of me. I have this really expensive silicone dildo I won at an auction. I didn't bid on it, but anyway, it's all in the name of research, right?
Exactly. What is your politicarellum, Burles? On that note.
Well, again, it's tricky. You know, burlesque is a type of entertainment, first and foremost. It always has been, you know, and you get a lot of art for art's sake. And I think truly burlesque is not that. Burlesque is entertainment. It's, the first thing is that it should be fun. It should be funny. The audience should be having a good time. Politic is something that you can bring in that obviously, you know, as artists, it comes through in your work. And I think that we have something that a very prevalent politic that comes along with Screaming Chicken, but it's not something that we force down through. It's more teach by doing than preaching. You know, we have a good time. We show people that we're having a good time, being liberated, being fun, being expressive. And that's most of it, you know, that it's okay to have fun, I think, is the biggest thing. And it's simple. It's you know, we don't get into much more than that. We're entertainers.
Well, the Chicken Little, I was about to say. The Chicken Little Society. No. Screaming Chicken. What is it called? What's it? Theatrical Society. I'm just thinking little chicken thing. Anyway, okay, God. Chickens are coming into my head in all capacities, not in the bestiality.
I was just going to ask. I hope it's not bestiality.
I did see a film when I was 16. First porn I ever saw was this guy in the family farm, it was called. And it was there was like donkeys, and this guy was fucking the chicken hole, the egg hole, like a real chicken. The guy was, it really disturbed me. No. This is part of why I'm a sex educator, because I'm trying to help the world not do what happened to me at 16. Okay. I've been undoing the damage for years. For 20 years. Oh, okay, it's okay. I'm okay. So every time I hear Screaming Chicken, I just get this image in my mind. My mind. Okay, so the politic around burlesque, we were talking with Jenny Magenta earlier in the show about a politic being that different bodies, I mean, changing the stereotype of what is sexy. I think that's really powerful. What do you think about that?
Well, I think what is most sexy is being confident and loving yourself, no matter what your body type is. So I think that's the biggest thing.
I love her short answers, just right to the point, no sauciness involved, just straight up. Straight up.
Very straight up.
If you know, and if that's a politic, if that's how we change
that is a politic.
The world is by saying that, hey, we're up here, we're having fun, you know, we love our bodies, we love, you know, shaking around, giving the old shimmy.
Shaking the shit up, yeah.
Then, you know, other people get excited. Like, women are really the most excited people at all of our shows. They're the ones like, I've been flashed. I've been dancing and had a girl show me her tits from the audience. And I think that's fantastic.
I like the gush-gush all wiggling around. That's the part I think is fabulous. Because that's really healthy for you. And I did demonstrate that at the first salon about the gush-gush and how...
You should explain what the gush-gush is.
So you just... All that stuff that moves on your skin, the skin and the flesh, and how it all kind of wiggles and moves around. Women really like it when you kind of grab under the bum or whatever, and you just kind of shake it nice and soft and kind of get the whole thing going. It really kind of gets the labia going, too. You know, that equals excitement, which is one of the reasons we like to get hammered. Sometimes, you know, in bed. You know what I mean? Fuck like crazy donkeys.
I thought you meant drunk for a second, and I thought... and I was,
anyway, the
I
gush,
was
gush,
trying to imagine how you can feel that if you're drunk. Okay, I should just shut my mouth
Oh,
now.
My God, we're really having a gong show tonight. So, but so I think with the burlesque, that gush-gushing, you know, shaking it up, you don't get to see that because women are always trying to hide it.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, we don't want to wiggle too much, you know, strap her down, you know.
Like twirling pasties is not the most I guess, sexy move when you like, especially when you look at still photography of pasties. Oh, yeah. One way up there,
the
it's all
tits,
flat
like, to the left. Yeah, the you've got shelf tit and like haggard boob looking
yeah,
thing.
You always
yeah.
want the pictures when you're on the upswing. You're like, yeah, look, it's like I have fake boobs for a second, and then they came back down into the side.
But then they're flat underneath as they're like up at the top. Yeah, it's kind of
actually.
I've seen some still.
Would you be able to do shake tassels with fake breasts?
Yeah, yeah. Guys can shake tassels.
Well, they have to have a little bit of man boob, don't they? They have to have a little man boob.
Flat as a board. It's actually harder when you have larger breasts.
I have a very skinny friend who's, I'm going to test this on this weekend. He's very, very slim.
Melody was just pretending, doing the impersonation of if you're getting hit in the face with a large breast as you're trying to get the tassel in the eye.
We definitely needed video tonight with our, you're looking so fabulous, Melody Mangler with her crazy outfits. And she's like, every day I dress up, I put this stuff on. I'm like, wow, really?
She looks fantastic.
Yeah, you look really beautiful.
So what do people have to look forward to for the rest of the festival?
Oh my God. Okay, so Corrupt Cabaret tonight, and then the Banquet of Broads on the Thursday at the Wise Hall. And we're actually launching this new project, By the Seat of Our Panties.
And what is that?
It is a burlesque of burlesque. It's a burlesque of a burlesque show. We're actually, takes place at a tech dress, okay. Getting ready for a burlesque show. It's a play.
It's a musical.
It's a musical. Oh. The Wet Spots actually have composed songs for this.
So yeah, nice. There's three original show tunes as well as a whole bunch of parodies of, and we're really making fun of ourselves and burlesque in general and the world behind it.
I'm going to go to this because, I'm volunteering until I can probably escape my volunteering job around 9, so I'll be able to make it. Okay, cool.
It's going to be crazy.
But yeah, it's really going to be fun. It's a fully scripted musical. And
how do those pasties stay on? Ever wonder what goes on behind the scenes at a burlesque show? What are the performers really like? Find out this and more in this hilarious satire. That's Burlesque Burlesque. So this is By the Seat of Our Panties, and it's at the Anza Club tomorrow night. So you can find out lots about the Burlesque Fest from Vancouver. Is it Vancouver Burlesque?
VanBurlesqueFest.com.
VanBurlesqueFest.com.
And you've got a whole whack of workshops going on
yes.
Saturday, too, don't you?
Oh, yes. There's How to Be a Damsel in Distress by Miss Ruby Slippers from Victoria.
And Bump and Grind. That sounds kind of hot.
Oh, Miss Indigo Blue. This Bump and Grind workshop is honestly one of the best. You think, Bump and Grind. Oh, I can do that. An hour and a half? How are you going to Bump and Grind for an hour and a half? No, seriously? She teaches every single nuance and little bit of movement. You will be a bump master.
I'm going to go.
The one who took off 6 pairs of gloves one time.
Yeah.
At the Sweet Soul Blue Party.
And she's going to be performing at our red carpet gala that following evening.
And how are you picking all the awards?
The membership. So become a member of the Vancouver Burlesque Alliance.
I'm gonna give Melody on the back. Melody, you're on the back of the program. It's just, you're so fabulous. Look at your snake all the way up your body. Fabulous, fabulous. Okay, well, what do you think? Any more questions?
I think, what's the future? What do you guys have up in store for us this year?
Oh, we've got lots of stuff coming up. By the Seat of the Panties is just the first of our ongoing theatrical productions. Mm-hmm. We've done a few in the past, but we're going to be doing a lot more in the future. So we have one in the fall, one for Christmas, that are going to be a lot of fun and absolutely ridiculous. We're going on a Canadian tour this summer, so we're going all the way across Canada and back.
Yay! Wow, it's going to be awesome. Just performing burlesque or doing theatrical or both?
It'll be the Tabor Review, so it's our club show.
Okay. Is this the one I got to see on Saturday?
Yeah.
Review.
I like the Taboo Review. It was quite lovely. I like that. I like the Orgy of the Dead, too, though.
I love the Orgy of the Dead. It's kind of messy. It's hard to probably get a right venue.
It's
a hard one to travel.
It was very entertaining. I went with my aunt, who was kept knocking over my wine glass because she was hooting and hollering so much in the second row.
Oh, that's
she was just
good.
Loving it. Yeah, wish we had. Yeah,
your auntie Ro is a lot of fun. I remember her from when I was a little girl.
Yeah, she's a pretty wild woman.
She's wild. Yeah. I was inspired by her.
Which, on that note.
Yes, on that note, shall we wrap it up?
I think we should.
Thanks to you two for your super busy schedule coming all the way out to UBC campus. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Busy time.
Thanks for having us.
And do check out VanBurlesqueFest.com and come to a show. Damn it, they're all so fast.
Become a member. vote. Actually, do members get voting power?
Yep.
Yes.
Sweet.
All right. Well, I'm going to be a member tonight. Okay. We hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we'll be back next week for another special edition of Juicebox Radio. And in the meantime,
if you've got any recommendations for show topics, or you want to hear or have any questions or anything to do with sex or relationships, please feel free to email us at julie@juiceboxradio.com.
And we're going to get Caroline up anytime soon. I promise you. I'm working on it. But you can also just email me. I'll forward it to her. I'm sorry. I'm so lame with the tech. Anyway.
And if anybody has sent anything to caroline@juiceboxradio.com, I'm really sorry. I don't have the password, so I can't check your email.
We're tech retarded. So anyway. Okay.
We're technically challenged.
Technically challenged. So coming up next is Hans von Kloss.
Oh, I like that. Hour. Von Kloss, it sounds like a James Bond character.
Marion is a sexy man to be miserable.
He's a Nazi. He's a Nazi? Can we say that on air? I guess I just did.
You can say dick, I can say Nazi. Okay, great. Marion's a very sexy man to be miserable with, so tune in to Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
And that's for the cock man out there.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening. You're gonna have to give it to me. You're gonna have to give up to me.